hates Esau when he was just a little old embryo still in his mother's womb. This, along with many other questions, causes a great deal of consternation among so-called Bible students down through time. And there's always a very simple answer, a very basic answer. And that is, it has to do with the world age that was. Let me tell you something, give you a little rule of thumb to go by. Any time that it would appear that God was being selfish, unkind, or unfair, you're not understanding the Word of God. Because God never, never makes a decision that it isn't just, honorable, righteous, forthright, absolutely correct. So, rather than trying to bring God around to your way of thinking, know that in God's case, there's a reason for everything. And always take into account the fact that we're made in His image, He and the angels, and that He has emotions the same as we do. You ever been jealous? Ever been angry? Well, God doesn't get angry quite the way we do, but He is a jealous God if one of His children began following someone else. Many times He uses analogies such as marriage, my bride. And He expects you to relate the emotionship that has to do with your own marriage, with the analogy being the way He feels about you as an individual in your spiritual walk with Him. He's always correct, very correct. Sometimes we can be very, very wrong. Because the first Jake Leg answer someone might come up with, that's a mistranslation. God didn't hate that little baby before the little baby ever was out of the mother's womb to even commit a sin. But it does not take away from the fact that there was an entire world age before this one, and it's documented throughout the Word of God. Now, what then did Esau do at that time? Well, it isn't written. But as students of the Word, we know one thing. God was not a little bit unhappy with him. He was a whole bunch unhappy with him. And remember this. A leopard never changes its spots. And once someone has a weakness and is headed out in sin, until they come to a total repentance and are delivered, that will always be their weakness. Always. Most likely. So, what do we have to go by then? Well, first, let's establish the fact. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. And let's just see how it was that Paul described this. And let's begin to pick up some clues, if we may. And we've got Romans chapter 9. Let's take it about verse 11. For the children, this would be the twins, Jacob and Esau, for the children being not yet born. Anybody have a question on that? They were still an embryo, still in the mother's womb. Neither having done any good or evil. Now think about that, good or evil where? As flesh bodies. Neither had done any good or evil. It doesn't say anything about the world that was. Meaning in this flesh age, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. God does have an elect. Not of works. Not of works here in the flesh necessarily, but of him that calleth. Because he knows what happened in the world that was. He has a very good account. It's written in the book. What we call the book of life. Every account. Every detail. Was there a method of repentance there? Well, God is gracious and fair, I'm sure, to the fact of an angelic being or someone having 100% of their thought process rather than 10, that there was an equal balance whereby things were balanced and fair and just. Some made it, some didn't. Esau, naturally, had a bad flaw. And if God will actually hate a sin so bad that it will carry through this, we need to know what it is. Because needless to say, it's very important. And if you want to get Father down on your case, commit the same sin. Well, what sin was it? Verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. God told her that while they were still in the womb. He said, He didn't say you have two sons. He said you have two nations in your womb. Two nations of people. And the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Boy, that's pretty blunt, and that's pretty, you know, that's just laying it right out. And of course, the object of this ninth chapter of Romans is the fact that there is election. There is a destiny for some people. Why? Because they're the best. Well, in a sense, you could say that if you take into account the deeds that were accomplished at Satan's rebellion, even in the earth age that was. Many might say, well, what are you talking about there? Well, the Bible is very clear on this. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, tells you of those three earth ages. As a matter of fact, the good old book of Genesis, if you read chapter 1, it states, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, period. Didn't say when. But anyone with common intelligence and watching carbon dating and so on and so forth, we know this earth is millions, billions of years old. But then in verse 2, in the Hebrew, it states very clearly, tuhu vavuhu. Not that this earth was created void and without form, but that it became void and without form. Why? Because Satan rebelled. The Bible does not differ with science. Science, if it is a correct art, is most likely correct. But God's Word also is correct. And the two agree with each other pretty well. In creation, yes. Science itself must agree, if you have any common sense at all, with creation. Why? Because for anything to be a fact, it must be, as far as to evolve, it must be a never-ending process, or it couldn't have started in the first place under a given set of circumstances. In other words, we would have to have half monkeys and half man, and tadpoles with, all the various stages would have to be on the table at the same time. But when you deal in archaeology, as many of you have through us with documentaries, you find out that 3 million years ago a snail looked exactly like a snail looks today. That poor little sucker didn't get to evolve anywhere. He's still in the shell. And then common sense prevails. But what was this deed that Esau could have done? I know it's easy to answer, but let's take this as far as we can. Want to? Let's go to Malachi, where he said where this is written. Let's go back there where it's written. Last book in the Old Testament. Let's take it with chapter 1 and verse 1, if I'm not mistaken, and right on. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 1 and verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi means in the Hebrew tongue, my messenger. So everything delivered by Malachi, you'd better pay real close attention to, because it has a great leaning toward the Elijah ministry, which means God's word to people in the end times. Verse 1. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? That's very common for people, beloved. Where? How? What? Well, you breathed air this morning, didn't you? That's the start. God created the O2. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Question. They were both equal. They're brothers. They were even furthermore twins, saith the Lord. Yet I love Jacob. Your father is saying, open your mind and think. Verse 3. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Hey, is that past? Was that the reason? Or is that future? I got some news for you. I think it's both. Inasmuch as Satan uses the same political structure in Revelation chapter 12, I feel that as he is now, I feel that most likely, yeah, I can see God not enjoying Esau or his mountains. That means what he possessed. He wasn't happy with it. Why? His mountains and his heritage. I want you to underline that word, heritage. That's an exceedingly important word to your Heavenly Father. You want a heritage? That's your inheritance. What do you inherit most often from? A parent. Who is your father? That he has worked hard for. To provide for you even a happy life on this earth, if you snuff at it, hey, he's ticked, friend. He doesn't like it if you snuff at him. For he has made an easy life on this earth if you'll just relax and not be like Esau. What was Esau like? Well, let's find out. And his heritage was waste for the dragons of the wilderness. That's the old jackals. That means Satan's camp can take them over lock, stock, and barrel. Whereas Edom in the Hebrew tongue means red, the red country. It would be Esau's country, Edom. But we will return and build the desolate places. That's what Esau says. That's what his children say. Hey, look at Russia today, my friends, and this has nothing to do with specific Christians in Russia, but look at them. We may be having a little recession, but look at Russia. We are, whereas Edom saith, this is Edom speaking, Esau's children, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Now again, that sounds, God's just being unfair there. How can all the little children, as long as children can continue in the sin of their father, the sin is still fixed. I would suppose that because God is fair, that that's why we have many people that have migrated away from that place. It'll never be blessed. Why? Well, in part because of Esau, those things that he espoused. But what was his main problem? Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. What was his problem? Genesis 25 will give us maybe a clue. One of our first You're all familiar with the story of the so-called covert activity accomplished by Jacob to do a little double shuffling to get Esau out of his birthright. But it was God's orders. What would you, just ask yourself this question. What would you take for your birthright? Do you realize when I'm asking you that, as far as our Father's concerned, I'm asking you, what would you take for your soul? What I want you to see is the seriousness of heritage compared to our Father. Because your heritage is eternal life. Or death. If Satan happens to be your father, you inherit the inheritance of your father, the devil. I think I read somewhere that's a big fiery pit. So heritage becomes very important to our Father. Verse 31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Might as well have said, sell me your soul. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. Now watch Esau. Watch his thoughts. Watch his mind. In other words, he was starving to death. Let me refresh your memory. He was starving to death. He went out to hunt. He hadn't had any luck. And he came back, and his old tummy was just biting at him and squalling and acting up. And he said, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do me? In other words, I'm about to starve to death. If I don't eat something, I'll die anyway, and what good would be the birthright? Do you see where Esau's mind was? Not in the hereafter, certainly. Not in the most important thing, that God's heritage is an eternal resting place with all things that you so desire that bring joy to you. And therefore, we see Esau only looked at what? Only his present condition. Only himself. It's all he ever looked at. It's all he ever cared about. Was self. It didn't matter that the father made promises. It didn't matter that in his hand, do you understand what that heritage was he sold for? Well, let's continue on. Let's finish this, and then we'll talk about that heritage. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. You want to know what God disliked about it? Thus Esau despised his birthright. That was Esau's problem. I don't figure he changed any from this age to the one that was. He only had one problem. At this moment, I need. I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care about my father. I don't care that he created this. I'll sell her out because I'm hungry. My tummy's, the flesh is controlling me. That's what was happening. And when you make a big problem, boy, I'm going to be really careful on my diet here today, and I'm not going to partake of this, that, and the other, and you walk by one of those things, and that little old tummy begins to sound off to you. It talks your language. Try me. Go ahead, it won't hurt. Try me just one time. You know. That's what Esau's problem was flesh. And you know what? The heritage he sold was the lineage of Christ right to this day. And this great nation versus even Edom, Russia. There it went. It was his. Though God knew that one enough that he told the mother, he said, hey, no problem. The elder will serve the younger. He knew Esau. He knew Esau never thought of anyone but himself, and he had no respect whatsoever for an inheritance or for what someone might give him. He was one of these, It wasn't, and I think why this is so critical, beloved, you got to remember he was a blood brother to Jacob, the father of the 12. It's pretty heavy stuff. Satan wasn't messing around here, and Esau's sin was never not necessarily to follow Satan all that much. Not directly. He sure didn't worship Satan because he was too busy worshiping self. And I'm telling you, this is a very critical thing, and God dislikes it very much. Enough that he would allow this one to even carry over from the earth age that was into this, saying, I hated that little baby. I hated the soul that was placed in that little baby, is what he was really saying. What was his sin? You just read it. It's obvious. He despised. That goes a little deeper, doesn't it? He despised his inheritance. He despised his birthright. Well, it becomes pretty obvious then that our Heavenly Father takes this birthright business pretty serious. That's why you will hear and have been drawn to the fact that isn't that exciting that 10 tribes went north? That is your heritage, beloved. It's quite obvious it's important to God because he asked the four winds in Revelation chapter 7 to hold until 12 out of 12 tribes were sealed. That's right at the last day. So, yes, it's important. Why? Then does that mean that God is a racist? Let's just wipe that out to start with. No. He is not. All children are his children. But he has called forth certain of the tribes that are supposed to be leaders that God will work through. And then what does the word Abraham mean? Blessing to all nations. That's ethnos. In other words, showing the leadership and allowing the blessings of God to flow. And that's why that there are kings and queens of the ethnos. Its heritage is just as important to them because, quite frankly, as they are responsible for their people. And when we start looking at different peoples today, tongues and languages, there's a whole lot of responsibility to be passed around because there are a whole lot of things wrong in this world today. Why am I saying this? To show you the importance of heritage. How can God, in his overall saving plan, if he has not kept that heritage and that election in order and in place, which he has, I assure you, how would it be possible? In other words, those that care enough to study our Father's Word to understand their birthright through the love of Jesus Christ in that promise even made to Abraham, which means he's the father of all nations, holds true, that they are a blessing to all people. If you're not a blessing to all people in your walk with Christ, then I'm talking about other than if there's some person out here that's going around killing people, we don't want to be a blessing to him. We want to be a blessing in the sense we're going to take a two-by-four up to the side of his head and get his attention, give him an attitude adjustment, all right? But what I'm saying is this. You must be a blessing and have a message that fits everyone for God's message to everyone fits. He has many children of different pastors, and he loves all his children. So, what do we get down to then? We got covenants. Do you know what a covenant is? It's a contract. It's a will. When you hold the Holy Bible in your hand, you have two sections of a will. You know what a testament is? That's what a testament is, a will. You have the first and the last. And you're the individual that if you claim it, if you claim your birthright, then there's a whole lot of blessings and benefits that come to you right now. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 49. Would God deal in this sort of thing really? Well, could it be that God was really ill at Esau because of his despising his birthright, his heritage? Let's just take this little old Isaiah 49. Let's read along a little bit concerning Israel. And wherever that 10 tribes went, that's the house of Israel. And that applies to those people, and their heritage is important. Why? God's going to tell you it is. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. The Lord chose somebody else from the womb? They didn't walk down the sawdust path saying, just as I am. No, God called from the womb. We happen to be talking about Messiah here in part. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, Messiah, Emmanuel. But he's also talking about the nation Israel. It's important to him. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Why is it that the Word of God must be hidden from so many people? Why was Jesus asked, why do you speak in parables? Because of heritage, and because of destiny. And because when some people become knowledgeable, they can become accountable. And God loves them enough that he knows they can't cut it. If I can just put it real plain right down to earth, he knows they can't cut it yet. So he hides it for those that he touches their mind. And the truth flows like honey over the buds of the mind and causes these pages to live. He made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel. Where is Israel? Why is it important? Don't be guilty of Esau. Well, I really don't care. I don't care where the house of Israel is. Well, you're talking like Esau again. If you know better. If you don't know any better, hey, no problem. Everything's A-okay. But if you know better, you better realize that it's something that's very close to your father's heart. And if you want to enjoy his blessings, you better know how to pleasure him. O Israel, to whom I will be glorified. Did it say, maybe someday I will be glorified? He's going to see to it. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. That's nothingness. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my walk with my God. My work, rather, with my God. My work is what? My reward. My reward is with him. Every reward you receive basically comes through God. If you don't believe that, then you've got yourself talked out of one of the greatest blessings that can be had by or helped by man. Because God rewards you right today. He knows when, and he knows how. He may use most anyone to do that or to accomplish it. To see that you get the breaks, and that the enemy gets what's left over. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. What does that mean? Who is Jacob? Jacob is always used in the Hebrew tongue when it means the natural seed of Israel, that same people. To bring them again where? From their scattering. He chooses people to assist in alleviating the scattering. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Hey, friend, there is no other strength This old world will wear you down and wear you out, and you will become depressed. And I'm going to, anytime you are depressed, you're rubbing too close to the world. You're not knowing that your father is in control. You're almost even playing an Esau. Your God has promised you success. Your father owns everything, and he's waiting to give it to you. Is that a prosperity message? Uh-uh. That's a work and you get paid message, friend. When you work for God, that is your reward. Your blessings today fall in the same way. He is very aware and he is very intelligent. Let's, you know, man likes to say, well, if somebody is in your employment and they kind of never show up and you have somebody else there that's always on time, does a fantastic job, and all of a sudden this other one comes along and expects the equal breaks, what are you going to do? Are you going to pay the one that didn't do anything, or are you going to pay the one that worked? That's just common sense. Don't question God's credibility. He knows who helps him. He knows who's going to do part of that gathering. Why? Most of them he's chosen from the womb. Why? Because he knows what they did. As it is written in the Greek, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I chose you before the kabel, which is to say the overthrow, Satan's rebellion. They earned that right. Okay. Verse 6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. There it glows and explodes the world over, whereby everyone through Christ enjoys that reward, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer. Do you know what that word Redeemer means? You've heard me teach the subject kinsman Redeemer. It means your closest of kin. It means it's a legal term. It means if you, for some reason, God forbid, you're thrown in jail. And they say only the nearest of kin can come and bail him out. God's saying when he uses that word Redeemer, I'm your nearest kin. Do you understand what the love entailed within that? He's saying, I'm your bondsman, so to speak. I'm the one that redeems you if you get in trouble. And so he is when you sin and you repent. He is the kinsman Redeemer that releases you and allows you to be in good standing with him in line to receive blessings. All right. The Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because the Lord, because of the Lord that is faithful. He's what? He is very faithful, beloved. If he promises a thing, count on it. It's going to happen. And the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Did it say maybe? No. Talking to Israel, he has already chosen. So it's very important where those 10 tribes went. It's very important that someone take interest in their heritage. Are there no better than an Esau? And God hated him. Now, God, I want to say one thing for the sake of a scholar that might not be totally with the program. God winks at ignorance and all that call upon his son. He loves. But it's a no good that won't take the time to understand and appreciate their family, their heritage. And that's exactly why God hated Esau. Why? Because God is the father of all the families. He created them. He gave prophecies concerning them, where they would go, what they would do. And the seedbed for those that gather are embedded within those families. Now, don't make a bigger thing out of this than what it is. Because it doesn't matter what tribe. There's no way you could really even find out today. God accepts that. Don't say, well, let's draw this border right here. That's where Reuben went. Well, Reuben has already crossed over to Issachar's place so many times and back and forth that it's pretty hard, you know, to keep the line straight. Don't become a fanatic on that sort of thing is what I'm warning you, encouraging you. But do pay attention to the heritage. For indeed, that is important. Okay, which verse did we get to? Let's see, I guess it's 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time. What time does your watch say? In acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee. Do you know what preservation is? Preservation is that preserves someone in a bacteria-filled situation, in one sense. In your little old flesh body, he'll preserve you today. Do you understand what I'm saying? His promises and your inheritance are good today. Claim it. If you don't claim it, it's just the same as he wouldn't do it anyway. I don't really care. I'm worried about myself anyway. I wonder what I've got in the bank. Wonder about this. And wonder what my retirement will be. Well, if his retirement is fantastic, God says, okay, I don't know about where you work, all right? You'll have to check that one out. But what I'm saying is, to be preserved means a continuing process, and you can cash in on that, may I use that term, today, or you're slipping, all right? I preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. Do you know what a covenant is? Again, that's a contract. That's a legal document to establish the earth, to cause to inherit. You underline it in your mind. To cause to inherit the desolate heritages. In other words, he'll give it all to them before it's over. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. In other words, you're free. To them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. I thank our Father that He has given us a platform that now reaches around the world, where when it comes to feeding His sheep, that we have that ability. Little old church in Northwest Arkansas, did we do it? My friends, when you go through that door and there's over $1 million worth of equipment back there, how many of you can remember that air conditioner sitting in that wall over there? In 1977, my people had met in places that didn't even have electricity. And I didn't have money to pay for that air conditioner hanging in that wall over there. I had it in my own pocket. But the church didn't have anything. Strange thing. When Montgomery Ward got around to sending the bill, we could have bought a dozen of them. And the same way with that back room there. I don't know where the million, I do know where the million came from. It came from God's children. 5, 10, 15, whatever, everywhere, in millions of homes. What I'm saying is, in a sense, you're sitting in a miracle of God's preservation, that His order is go forth and feed the sheep. And there are many others that He calls to feed sheep other than this little body, okay? I'm not sure where they are, but until we find them, well, we're going to keep plowing real deep, all right? Feed my sheep. 10. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. In other words, my words will comfort them whatever the tribulations of the world might be. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them even by the springs, that's still springs, where the water is deep, of water shall he guide them. And of course, that is the Savior when he is in the midst of a body. He does guide us. He does bless us. If you need something to do the Father's work, I guarantee you he'll get it for you. If you're doing his work, that is. It's important. Your heritage is so rich. Your Father is so loving. He is so fair. But you must learn that Esau's enemy was self. I want to go hunting today. Hey, take care of everything, Dad. I'll be back. And his own dad, his earthly dad, loved him the best. All right? Because he brought home good jerky and all that stuff. And his dad was even partial to old Esau. He just really was a good time guy, I guess very likable in that sense, but you can tell how little he cared of his heritage by who he married. And that's a different story for a different time. Real quick, I want to go to Jeremiah. Does God choose people? Jeremiah chapter 1, and every one of you knows exactly what I'm going to read in verses 4 through 6. Even down to little old Jeremiah, sometimes people fail to see the power of God's hand in their life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, I formed thee in the... Before, rather, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Well, how in the world would he know Jeremiah before he was ever conceived? All souls come from God. All of us were with God. There's just one big question. A lot of people don't know how long. Well, are you talking about reincarnation? No way, friend. Only one time through this earth age. Before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God knows what he's doing. God knew he could count on Jeremiah. Jeremiah went through some pretty hard times. I mean, he was clear up to his neck once, remember, in a sump pit. And looked like there was no way to go but up. And yet God loved him so much, but yet he let him get in that pit. So think about it. About pits. The other day, well, we'll let that go for a different story for a different time. And then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. I haven't been studying long, God, and your words kind of confuse me sometimes. I'm not a good speaker. Verse 7, But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Just think of Mark 13, when you're delivered up, you're not to premeditate what you'll say, for God's elect shall speak. But it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in those seven events listed in Mark 13 that are the seven seals that consummate the end of this age. Be not afraid of their faces. Hey, friends, I'm going to tell you something. There are no giants out there. Well, you don't understand over here, brother. There's these military government agencies and so forth that you must have approval for this, that, and the other. And you must have this done and that done. Hey, I said, there are no giants. God controls those agencies. Some might say, well, how did you get an FCC license for the sticks out here? There's no enemies out there as far as God's work is concerned when he's in control. Oh, there are some enemies, all right, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God's going to get it done anyway. You understand what I'm saying in your daily life? And perhaps I'm using a poor analogy to prove that. God knows what's in your mind and heart. And if there's ever any one kick you never want to get on, it's self. It's remembering his testaments, his love for all of his children, and the responsibilities for those that have eyes to see is to carry that forth. That's all in the world Jeremiah was called for. Not for Jeremiah's sake, but for our sakes, that we have this great book today of truth to take from. Well, some of you are likewise. When God touches you and you plant a seed, you were valuable in the hand of God to see that that innocent soul received the truth. Okay? Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. He always shall. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put words in thy mouth. He will always do that. Naturally, God has a right to hate Esau if he so chooses. Because it's obvious that Esau did not respect anything our father set out to do. That is to say, is to set forth the tribes, set forth the nations. And that inasmuch as he was in that family that had been chosen, that he would still, even in this earth age, there's nothing new under the sun, right? I think God pretty well knew he would continue. But I'm going to add a real quick footnote. I believe that Esau could have converted any time he wanted to. I really do. He could have changed. But God had his number pretty well. He knew he wasn't going to. Did Esau repent? Oh, with tears. In chapter 27 of Genesis. With tears he repented. But who did he repent to? Now this is important. He repented to his own father. Not God. Oh, Daddy, change your mind. Change your mind, Daddy. He didn't say, God, will you straighten this out? Self. He even asked his dad to go to God and see about this. Why didn't he? I think he probably pretty well knew what his position and what the statistics were. I'm going to close, but I want to go one other place. We started in the New Testament. Let's go back there again. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This is that little old chapter where God says, if I love you, I'm going to correct you. So if you get a little whomp every once in a while, you're going to know that I care about you and I love you, but I'm straightening your act out, all right? And he said that if you don't do your own flesh children that way, you know what I mean, keep them disciplined, you're going to be sorry about that too. So he said, therefore, I don't fail to chasten you a little bit if you need it. And he's coming down and he's saying, don't let bad roots get started, germinate around you. Pinch it off in the bud, all right? But he gets down here. I want to go down. Let's see. Let's go to verse 16. With all that warning about don't let a bad root get started in your midst, that means a grievance without nipping it in the bud. Lest there be any fornicator, this is the 16th verse, 12th chapter of Hebrews, or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That's his problem. You know this word fornicator up here? Do you know what that is in the Greek? It's pronos. It means male prostitute. He sold himself. Sold out. And when you sell your heritage, spiritually you're doing the same thing. God doesn't like it. That's just like telling God to take this word and do something with it. Because that's what this word is about. It's the will, the testament of our Father to His children. And when you snuff at the importance of those promises, it makes him very angry. I could continue on in that 12th chapter and tell you where he would say, hey, I'm going to shake this whole thing one more time. And he's talking about the time he shook it at Satan's rebellion. And if there's anything around loose, if there's something still around that isn't wired and screwed right into the heritage right real tight, it's not going to be, because I'm going to shake it till only that that's on the rock survives. So, many people say, well, God just doesn't seem close to me lately or something. Well, this is just one more of those little things you want to put in your little book to check out. Have you been in Esau lately? No, I really don't care who I am or what. I don't want to study. What is that word, you know? Hey, you're in trouble. But if you just take the time to say, Lord, I have trouble understanding it. Just if it's just one verse, please give me one verse in concerning my heritage, what you promised me, and let me have that each day. Just one. It'll tickle him pink. I don't know if it'll tickle him pink. That's a figure of speech, my friend. He'll love you for it. Because you took a moment in your day and asked him to help you with something. You ever had a child just really, just get stumped with a school problem? And say, Mom or Dad, I just got to have a little bit of help with this. And boy, here, let me show you how intelligent your old dad is. All right, yeah, I'll help you. Well, it pleases God, too, to help His children. It really does. But always remember, if you feel you're walking that little distance away and feel God isn't that close, check yourself out. God hated Esau, and he wasn't. He wasn't bashful about letting us know it. He openly, boldly said, I hate that kid. And I think it's important that we have this discussion so that we can kind of get to the bottom of it. Because I'm going to tell you something. No, I don't know for certain what Esau did in the world that was. But I don't think Esau will ever change because God put forever on it. The people, until they change their ways. But that's what he was doing in the first earth age also. God hated it then. And I'm going to tell you something. He hates it now. Study your history. Study your heritage. Let me tell you something. You're not only going to inherit this world, this earth, erets, may I say, this clay that we stand on, but you're going to inherit space beyond the thought of man with planets and suns that man has never seen. You're talking about beauty and precious expanse. Though heaven will be on earth, we're talking about an inheritance of everything. Don't snuff at it. Because I'm going to tell you why. There's no choice in the matter. That's all there is. You either inherit it, your portion, or there is no inheritance. But a pit. And that pit has a consuming fire in the bottom of it. If I had read the last verse in that 12th chapter of Hebrews we were reading, the last verse in that 12th chapter, it tells you what the consuming fire is. God is a consuming fire. That Shekinah glory just simply expels wickedness. He's always fair. So, why did God hate Esau? Because he was a selfish, never thought of anybody but himself, and he told God to take his rules and do whatever he wanted to because he was going to follow his own. Wasn't much help to the father, was he? Did it mean he was a real bad egg? Well, he I guess he was likable. But you better be real careful. It didn't matter if man liked him pretty good or not. God hated him. And you better see that you're pleasing your father instead of man. Think about it. Too much self. Okay, bless your hearts. Let's go to this throne. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the written word. Thank you for your truth, Father. Your emotions, Father. Thank you for your touch and sharing and preserving, Father, your children as we endeavor to do that work, which is a privilege and an honor. And we just thank you for it, Father, in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.